This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Thank you. Okay, weather today, highs of 12 degrees centigrade, lows of 5 degrees centigrade. The overnight fog and cloud will be thinning slowly, but we can look forward to a fine afternoon with plenty of sunshine, so great news as far as that's concerned. Okay, moving on, it is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. Holly, it's your first morning show with me, isn't it?
It is. Good morning, everybody.
We were both obviously at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre last night with the excitement that was caramel.
Yes.
Yeah, you were in front of house duties.
I was front of house.
Exactly.
So now I can talk about my job role.
Exactly. Yeah, and truly wonderful stuff. Part of the joys of the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre and the magic it actually brings to the world.
Yes, indeed.
So great stuff there.
So we can plug a lot of Lincoln Performing Arts Centre.
Which we will and intend to do fully. But we've also got time to actually speak to Minty Steed about countryside issues and matters relating to all sorts of things, etc. It's the Cheltenham Festival this week. Mostly those slightly larger beasts that are kind of running like crazy in every sense of the word. Will you actually be making your way over there, Minty?
Yes, definitely. Would have actually partied about an hour or so before now, but just had something else that needs taken care of, so it'll be somewhat slightly late. But yes, tomorrow for the Gold Cup, yes.
Well, there we are. And it'll be your first Gold Cup for a good few years, I would have thought. Is that right?
Well, it... I've had other things to do, but yeah. I have produced it, the Gold Cup programmes, haven't I, for a while, but I mean, hey-ho, why shouldn't I go down?
Quite right, Lisa.
Probably with me, and with the marvellous way you can now travel with assisted rail, you know, so they get put off from one train to another, with that facility allowing you to be able to go and travel on your own, and then you both can stand up on two legs can, that does open up a lot.
Exactly. So we're looking forward to that. Any particular thought, any tip? Because I know we haven't managed to connect this week with one of our sort of Gloucestershire correspondents, but any thoughts in terms of who we should actually be thinking about for winning the Gold Cup to this time around?
I prefer to leave it to people's own choice, but the Gold Cup is a bit like the lottery, and it's very much, as I say, it's a chance game on that one. And quite often it can throw up a surprise result, which I think is excellent. I would have one comment, though, that I did hear on radio by a very well-known person who gives out the tips and the hints, etc., for racing, done so for many years, that he's fallen into two categories now, that's why I'm not naming it, not the radio station. Number one, when you declare a horse is a wonderful thing. It's one of the most beautiful creatures God put on earth, and all Muslims do believe so, that God, the Arabian horse came from the breath of God upon the dust of the desert, and so therefore produced the Arabian horse. So, yes, they're magnificent creatures. But to call a horse or any animal the best in all time, when Christ, of course, was the one who said, I would be with you for all time, you know, the end of all days, etc. And we haven't come to the end of all time yet. I don't like that. And number two, saying Arkell was the greatest. Arkell was a wonderful horse. I remember when I was a child seeing him, and also at the Horse of the Year show when he went into the personality parade. So being very close to Arkell indeed, and nobody's saying he wasn't a wonderful horse. He was, and my best mate, wonderful animals. But the greatest Gold Cup winner, the greatest of all those horses for all that type of racing, the National Hoop Racing, is and still has not been equaled, not any horse come near. It was Dorothy Padgett's Golden Miller, and he won 5 Gold Cups. He won the King George V, and he's the only horse in the world that ever won both the Grand National and Gold Cups in the same time, which is a feat no other horse in the world has ever achieved. And when Golden Miller did do those classes, when he did win those races, the fences were far larger, the distance was far longer, and included solid stone walls. And that horse was an entire, meaning a stallion, and they like to protect themselves from going over fences. And he completed 5 Gold Cups, and Arkell and Best Mate, the fences they went over, the course they went round, wasn't anything as dangerous or as enduring or arduous as the fences and the races go, Miller won. So I do have to put it there. Dorothy okay. Padgett being the only woman who owned that horse, you know, a horse equal to it.
I'm sure there'll be a movie being made about that. Ed Wellman has actually texted in to say, morning, Alex, Minty and Holly. Oh, we're sounding grand this morning.
Hello, Ed. Yeah. Is he out on free range roaming reporting, perhaps?
No, he's been sorting out his poorly foot, but never mind. that's by the by.
I'm not. Listen, seriously.
You know? I was the one who was laughing. Yeah. I'm sorry, Ed. Hope you get well.
We've got all sorts of dramatic things on that basis.
When you're laughing, you will be fit before too long.
He'll be back soon.
Exactly. Sorting through a whole variety of other bits and pieces as well there. So that's Golden Miller. Obviously, a movie to actually be taken there.
No horse can match it yet, you know.
Yeah, perfect sense. Holly, you haven't been to the races, have you?
No, never.
Oh, I think we need to put that right, Minty. We need to obviously get this sorted through.
Yeah. What area are we talking of?
Well, obviously Lincoln initially, but, you know, after that, the world. But, you know, clearly,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, I meant for travel, not knowing your location of your...
Well, my dad and my brother have been to Doncaster. But I don't think we've gone further than that.
Well, Market Raisin, I would think, then.
Yeah, maybe that.
From Lincoln.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, the stand is still there at Lincoln, it's just obviously...
It's just not you.
The rest of the point is it's crazy, isn't
it? I know. But then all the stables used for the racing when Lincoln had its race course and used it, they are there now for use by the people who have that marvellous tradition they can make use of, is to turn the horses and ponies out on all the wonderful green areas in and around Lincoln City, and they can now obtain one of the loose boxes there on the race course if you want to bring them in for anything. And I think it's a marvellous tradition. I hope it never ceases.
See, if we had some horses for Caramel last night, it would have just been perfection, really, wouldn't it?
Would it?
Whole experience.
Is Caramel anything to do with the caramel? Or is it caramel after that, rather?
They used physical caramel in their performance.
I was wondering if it was a derivative of that ghastly hair colourant some people put on where they end up looking like the inside of a caramel, you know. No human beings have been born with, you know.
That's certainly something we can actually look at. The original production, which we saw last night, it was very interesting in every sense of the word. You can watch, dance, even hear it, but have you ever tried to smell it, to taste it?
Is it going out further? It is indeed.
They're on tour. They're commissioned by a theatre in the mill. They were at Lincoln last night, and truly wonderment is there. Caramel, created by Rita Marcarlo in collaboration with artist Gary Winters, dramaturge Ivana Ivkovic, and visual artist Lucy Barker. And actually part of the wealth of talent and stuff that actually occurs at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre.
And they were a lovely. They were a lovely crew to work with as well.
Yeah. And is the actual caramel as such involved in this?
Yes, they make it during the actual hour-long performance.
They do.
Quite literally on stage.
No,
it's quite extraordinary.
I can't bear the thought of caramel. I don't like those sorts of chocolates and chocolates.
Yeah. No. I know you're a violet person. That's the key thing, Minty, from a special chocolate... A violet person from the chocolatiers in London.
Yes, a certain special chocolatier in London. Very crispy. Very dark, very true.
Not caramel, but toffee. No. You see what we did there? Yes, moving over to the little doggy, Toffee. Toffee, of course, is going with your good self as your assistant to the Cheltenham Festival.
Yes.
Is it true he's a press hound?
Yes.
Nice. So he's actually going to have his own press tabard, I presume.
That's right, yes, he's fully accredited.
Excellent.
Actually, Toppy's always known that, hasn't he, Alex?
Clearly, exactly.
I mean, he is fully accredited, and his various offspring are growing on well, and Churchill, and it's a good job I named him Churchill, because he did look a sturdy little chap when he was at baby stage. Churchill is now growing on very well, and he is now rather has the Churchillian solemn sort of serious to his face, because he's very large, is Churchill.
Is he?
Yes, and he does study at, but he is much larger than the other pups.
Does he fight on the beaches?
Never surrender. That's right. Oh, definitely. When he goes into the show for the first time as in the puppy class, I think he comes across quite a disturbance argument.
There we are, a little look ahead to Churchill. Holly, last two questions for Minty Steed, please.
Minty, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
I certainly have, and it was interesting to know that Lincoln does feature, obviously, plays that can maybe go on to be even greater things, you know, that they catch them on the way around. I think that's the Churchill's initiative.
Yes. And have you... can we hope to hear from you again in the near future?
Well, I would hope so, otherwise I'd be lost out at sea somewhere, wouldn't I?
Indeed. Well,
you know what I mean? In the sea of the airwaves, you know, that out there we have a lot. I'm like one particular DJ who then became a talking chap, and he called himself after a very, very famous pirate of the seas.
A DJ who became a talking chap, eh?
We know which one, and he called himself after a very famous pirate, and because he was like the pirate of the seas, and he said he's the pirate of the seas of the airwaves.
Well, there we are, you see. I'm not quite sure about these talking chaps, though, Holly.
I know.
Unless you wear them very carefully, chaps can actually be quite chafing on the thighs.
Well, yes, but it's all a matter of knowing how to manage them.
Oh, exactly.
Especially the maintenance of them, so that doesn't happen to you.
Critical.
She was born in November 1963, the day Aldous Huxley died. And a mama run, baby, run, baby, run, baby, run, baby, run.
I suppose it's in keeping with the weather in many ways, really. Working its own way through in its own unique, inimitable magic.
From international who's who to CNN. From film criticism to royalty. From South Africa to London. And now to the midweek drive on Siren FM. It's Richard Fitzwilliams.
So, Holly, before we actually go to Richard, clearly my thought that it was the caramel what did for them. You know, one of the team has actually emerged.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, briefly, that's Gabriella. But Gabriella, did you actually taste of the caramel last night?
Yeah, I did taste the caramel.
Ah, right. That's okay, because I was thinking that it's interesting. Those who are not here today were the ones who tasted it. So.
No, I had a bit. It was nice.
Right, yeah. That's okay.
Worth the wait.
Well, exactly. Extraordinary. We were at a performance yesterday, Richard Fitzwilliams, which was entitled Caramel, which was at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, which, if I said, was kind of cross between Tracy Emin's Unmade Bed, performance artistry of extraordinary skills and cookery programmes, making caramel and tasting. What was your choice of tastes, Gabriella? You wanted to taste taste something which was.
I think it was banoffee pie.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I was strawberries.
Yeah.
We had other people who said they wanted to taste fear.
Freedom.
Yeah. Very, very peculiar. Most enjoyable and indeed sort of worthwhile working through that, and possibly actually providing a lovely way to introduce the Kennington Cinema, the Grand Budapest Hotel, and more. Isn't that right, Richard Fitzwilliams?
Yes, indeed it is. The Cinema Museum at Kennington is in fact the most extraordinary collection of artifacts and memorabilia. It was founded in 1986, and two individuals who were great cinema buffs had accumulated this unbelievable collection of stills, film posters, costumes. It's absolutely amazing. In the vast hall in which I was able, it was Mark Edgerton was doing a Q&A whilst they were some 3 hours, as for a collection of stills that showed the comparisons between the three films of Mutiny on the Bounty, and I hope it was enjoyed by those who attended. It was certainly very, very enjoyable to do. But the scale of the building, I mean, it's quite amazing what you see in it and how it's laid out and so forth, and they have tours, and it was a museum that the praises deserve to be sung.
Excellent. Holly, in a few moments, you're going to be going over the railway bridge, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's a bit of sort of news there.
So I depart now. Unfortunately, Richard, I've got to go to work, so...
Parting is such sweet sorrow. But, Richard, you have been fortunate enough to actually speak to the legend that is Holly Cox, not only ace cheerleader and coordinator for the Lincoln Cobra Elite cheerleading team, of course, but
Cobra
also...
Cobra Elite.
Yeah. And also front of house manager for the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. performance graduate, and, of course, ace midweek drivette extraordinaire.
Hello.
So she'll want to go and support the Grand Budapest Hotel, I hope.
Well, there we are. It,
I need to see that. It looks interesting.
Exactly, and it moves in every sense of the word. But Gabrielle is still with us for a few minutes. Holly, thank you. We'll see
you're
you again
welcome.
Next week, no doubt.
I hope so.
Yes,
I
exactly.
Hope so. I will let you know.
Assuming you survive St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, my goodness me. It's reunion week at the weekend, guys.
Yeah. is that code? Is that something which like people are listening into Siren FM for traffic and travel? They say it's union week
it's,
at the weekend.
It's reunion week for Lincoln University, so right, yeah. a lot of people will be coming back for that.
Reunion week for Lincoln University.
Okay. Well, enjoy your morning, everybody, and I will hopefully see you next week.
And there we are. And with those magical words, Holly Cox vacated to the studio to head off to bring a little bit more happiness to the world in the way that only Holly Cox actually can. So, marvellous stuff there. Okay, Gabriella, the Grand Budapest Hotel.
I actually watched it.
You've seen it?
Yes.
Oh, you're getting ahead of the Richard Fitzwilliams review. Well, before we find out Richard's views on the whole thing, what are your thoughts on the Grand Budapest Hotel?
I actually really enjoyed it, yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was funny and parts and, yeah, it was a good drama.
You were phased by the way it sort of moved from different time zones and different sort of things, and it moves from like 3.48 aspects and all over the place.
I think it did it quite well. Mm. I wasn't confused during the film at all at what time it was.
Caramel, that's confusion. But
that was more confusion, yes.
Sorry, Richard, we're taking over your routine here by doing that. It's over to you, the Grand Budapest Hotel. What's the official Fitzwilliams take on this?
Well, my take is Wes Anderson's always an interesting film director because he's always a bit quirky, but when I saw The Royal Tenenbaums or Darjeeling Limited or Moonrise, the most recent movie that he did, Moonrise Kingdom, I certainly never dreamt that he'd create what I can only say is his own Ruritania. It's an extraordinary movie. It mixes up all sorts of moods. Parts of it are dramatic, parts of it are hilarious, parts of it you have slapstick. A sort of mixture of The Murder on the Orient Express with The Prisoner of Zenda set in, and almost it's quite indeterminate the time, roughly in the 1920s and 30s. Interesting that I read an interview with Anderson that he was trying to mix up the world wars because this was a creation of his own. And a girl reading a chapter of a book, and then we see its author's visit to the Grand Budapest Hotel, meeting its owner. Why is this hotel with practically no clientele keeping going? And then we learn by looking back some extraordinary performances. And I have to say, one of the secrets of this movie, success, is that it has such an entertaining script. Ralph Fiennes, playing the legendary concierge Gustav, whose great supporter is Zero Mustafa, a boy who, in fact, simply attends to the lowliest tasks and nonetheless finds himself, no spoilers, of course, but we find out what precisely the relationship between the two of them is and how this turns out. And a collection of amazing characters. After all, the concierge services not only elderly women who tend to appreciate it, but also he has a collection of fetishes, for example, the right perfume. It's absolutely priceless, and it's very funny, and occasionally it's rather touching, and also it's this wonderful pastiche. I enjoyed it enormously, and it never occurred to me that Anderson would make a film quite like this, and also very, very entertaining to see who pops up where. F. Murray Abraham is the Zero Mustafa in old age, Adrian Brody, Jeff Goldblum, Tom Wilkinson, Jude Law. I mean, a cornucopia of talent.
A cornucopia of talent. Could almost be describing the LSJ Presents team, couldn't they? Never mind. Okay, fantastic. It's thumbs up there from your point of view. And finally, Richard, what else do you wish to actually draw our attention to this week?
Well, I think only Lovers Left Alive is a movie that it's by Jim Jarmusch, and indeed, I was fascinated by this film where Tom Hiddleston and Tilda Swinton play a husband and wife, but also they are vampires. They have been together throughout the centuries that she's older than he, but also in the 21st century, it's a problem to get the blood that they need, which must not be contaminated. Now, this is actually a mood piece. It has a certain charm, and it's visually fascinating. It's also got a cameo by John Hurt as Marlowe, Christopher Marlowe, no less, who's also turned into a vampire, and is based in Tangier. There's a lot to admire about this movie because of the pace that it moves, and because of its visuals, and because of some rather superb acting.
So, are you saying, Richard, it's better than Byzantium?
Well, it would have been very hard to be that much worse, since Byzantium didn't frankly grab me, and there was very little story. Here, it's a rather languid movie, but when Mia Wasikowska plays Eva, who is the sister of Eve, she pitches up, and she's big trouble, because vampires move at night, but also what crimes could a vampire commit in this century that would not be acceptable, and what does she do? It's an unusual film, obviously, but it's the atmosphere, it's the colours, it's the mood of it. It's actually highly effective, and Hiddleston and Swinton, of course, are excellent performers, and John Hurt, he's a classic actor of the finest type. I mean, one has seen him in so many films, and indeed I met him when he presented Gary Oldman with an award at the London Film Critics Circle award ceremony, and it is absolutely amazing if you think what he has actually done on screen, and also the way his face in one way or another has been used, you could say, distorted and twisted in certain cases for various roles. I enjoyed this film. I think it's an unusual film, obviously, and there will be limited appeal. And also, if you're a vampire and you see human beings as zombies, well, there are problems that may well occur, but it doesn't take itself too seriously. But it's wonderful to be somehow, you could almost say, sucked in, if you'll forgive me, to a
yeah, I wish
a
you
very,
hadn't,
very
actually, Richard.
World.
I think that's a sort of pun that is really beneath you. but still. So Wes Anderson's The Grand Budapest Hotel and The Joys of Only Lovers Left Alive by Jim Jarmusch, coupled with the Kennington Cinema Museum, kind of the triple whammy this week, Gabriella. Last two questions for Richard Fitzwilliams, please, Gabriella.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Richard?
I most certainly have.
And will you be connecting with us again, hopefully next week?
Indeed, I most certainly will be.
Still to come, Ian Lennox from Tyneside with more of his own views, thoughts and advice on life. We've got Bill Coles, the author of Red Top, Being a Reporter, Ethically, Legally and with Panache. Melanie Crouch will be joining us to reflect on Cameron Tilbury's musical choice from yesterday. William Sitwell, I think, will be connecting with us as well. Do you know last week he lost his mobile phone in Dubai?
No, I didn't know that. Let's hope he's got a new one.
I would indeed. Well, we're using landlines, so who knows what could actually happen, but hopefully we'll connect with William. And finding out about hedgehogs, Tony Bunnell. We'll be talking about two successes from her Hedgehog Rescue Centre that have just been re-released back into the wild. Aww.